This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is indeed the afternoon show here on WEEI, and we go from one familiar voice from his Fit Studios to another familiar voice in our studios, Mego Megan Ottolini in the building. Mego, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
Well, you look great, according to, where'd it go? It scrolled out of the damn Twitch chat. Why is that okay?
What do you mean?
We get into that?
Why is it okay to say I look great?
Yeah.
Because she does look great.
Thanks. Wow.
That was creepy. That was creepier.
No. It's not. I don't think it's creepy. Okay? I am a woman in sports.
Yeah, but how do I know?
A woman in sports. Give me all the compliments.
Yeah, but what if, I feel like there's a third rail there.
What
just because it's not a third rail for you.
You can't get body part specific. That's where it gets
Oh, is that
weird.
The rule?
Yeah. Well, to me, that's my personal rule.
What about
rule.
Tone? Hey, you look great today.
No,
hey,
that's
how
creepy
are you
too.
Doing? Thank
yeah,
you.
But it's like, hey.
See,
you
everybody's going to
yeah,
line for
you
creep.
You walk in and go, hey, you look great. Thank you. If okay. I walk in and somebody says, hey, your butt looks great, I'll be like, that's weird. That's a weird thing.
I think that's a clear crossing of the line.
Okay, how about if somebody says your legs look great? I've gotten that in the workplace.
Well, I
before.
Heard there was a lot of talk about your feet on the old iteration of the show.
Okay,
you
let
don't
me give
want
you
anything
a...
to do with my feet.
I hate feet. It's not your feet. All feet
no,
are gross.
No. Okay, if you think all feet are
nope,
gross,
keep them covered.
Mine
we're
is
not
like
doing feet.
Mine is like a body horror film.
Nope, we're not doing feet. But no, serious question. So like, there's these various lines of what's appropriate and what isn't, and we're going to get mm-hmm. into the Patriots in a minute because I know you were down at Gillette today. But just okay. quick aside here, because once I was at Gillette. And a female reporter, who I will not name, we were in a group session. As you know, group sessions happen in front of players' lockers
You're
a lot.
You're talking about a scrum in front
yes.
of a locker.
I have a different word for it that's inappropriate for the radio, so I won't say it.
Okay.
Rhymes with...
No.
Like when he gets uncomfortable back there. Anyway.
And I honestly didn't know what you were
so
going to say.
So I was standing there sideways. You know how you stand? You get your recorder out?
Test your arm strength.
And it gets really heavy really fast.
It's so hard, our
and then
jobs.
If you have to switch hands, it's hard to rotate around inside
and
the group
awkwardly,
setting.
You hip check yeah. some then, TV reporter next to you. And
then you start shaking and yeah. you're like, I'm supposed to be in pretty good shape.
It's,
I go to the gym.
It's really hard what we do.
Anyway, there was a woman right behind me and she rubbed my back up and down.
Stop.
And that's what I was
on
thinking.
On purpose or because
Absolutely.
She was switching recorders?
No.
Switching her
it was,
mic hand.
It was just pure backhand. There
Ladies
was no recorder.
Jumbo.
And she just rubbed it up and down. And then she did it a second time and was like, hey, how are you?
Wait, were you wearing a furry jacket or something?
Nope.
Something plush where
nope.
she said,
and
I
know I'm
feel
like
this?
Touchable and I look touchable okay. and all that and enjoyable.
Touching is almost always inappropriate. Unless okay. you're my friend, we've worked together and you come up and give me a big hug. You know, we have to have a real relationship.
I'm not a hugger.
I like doing it to flip it on its head. Like to my friends, I like to sometimes make them uncomfortable by hugging them in front of football players.
Okay, so I'm telling you I am a hugger so that you never make me uncomfortable by trying to hug me because I don't want to be hugged. Anyway, she's Mego. She looks great according to the
Thank
Twitch
you.
Chat and according
That's
to Stiz.
That's really weird, Andy. I can't believe that happened to you.
Oh, yeah, I know. And
how, can I ask
think if
how
it was
long
the,
ago this was?
It was a while ago, probably 8 to 10 years.
Wow. I wonder if she
I was younger, I was hotter back then.
I wonder if she was drunk or something.
I mean, that's a possibility. That would add layers to the story. I just feel like if that happened in the other way, it would have been an issue.
Oh, like very much harassment.
Right?
Like, it's harassment. Been no, it's a.
And
it's
I probably could have gone
two.
To Stacey yeah. James and been like,
if I saw someone doing that, I would be very. I would assume you two had a relationship outside of work.
I don't want that. Definitely don't want that to be the assumption. Anyway, we're moving on. Speaking of moving on, the Patriots are moving on to a big game in London. We started the show asking a simple question. Do you want the Patriots to win? Because if they win, they might not get the number one overall pick because this game will go a long way in those standings later in the year, tiebreaker, the whole thing. And so you can weigh in on that first. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, of course I want them to win.
Why?
I want them to win, first of all, because I do think this is a little bit of an international toilet bowl. And Jacksonville is on fire. They have a coach who's saying that there's a culture problem. And it's looking at
Isn't it your culture
going,
coach?
Yeah, who sets the culture there?
Right.
And that team is spending another week together in London after looking like the locker room who hates one another the most as an outsider watching that team.
Yeah.
I think that it also, the wins in terms of your quarterback's confidence can go really far away. So he's in his second start. He had a 20-point loss, even though I really liked the performance overall. Same. He had a 20-point loss at home last week. If he wins on this big stage in London and that team comes back, they're not going to be contending anything. They're not going to be fringy playoff team or anything like that. But I think you need to find some wins for your quarterback.
Okay.
And even just for your locker room to remain somewhat functional.
I will say I have found it interesting, even before he had played a game, he mentioned the importance of winning. And sort of a reference to, like, we've been losing. Like, it's just kind of simple. We need wins. And then this week he talked about feeling better with the confidence. We just heard the clip and then going over there. Maybe let's get a win and maybe we can stack some together.
Like, look, it's one thing if you're in the situation you were in last year and you know that you're getting to an end of something, be it Belichick's career with the Patriots or what you're doing with Mac Jones. At this point in the season, you kind of knew the direction everybody was rowing in. This is a different thing. You're building something, and yes, you want a good pick, but I still think that you want to find some wins on this roster so that you're moving in the right direction. Otherwise, you could have outright complete dysfunction, even worse than you have right now, by week 9. And that doesn't do any young quarterback any good.
So then in that lane, where do you think this team is? We saw Drake May. He looked really good in certain points, and he looked like a rookie quarterback making his first start at other times.
The whole first quarter.
It happens.
Yeah,
it happens. That's why some of us wanted him to play sooner rather than later, because you would get to the point where he looks like a experienced week 5 quarterback.
Or you could look at that and say, wow, I can see where the rough edges are around him.
Sure.
Seems like they got some of that out of his system in the first couple weeks.
Sure. And so there is a certain hopeful momentum at the quarterback position, which seems to have spilled over. You had some audio. You were with Pop Douglas today. Certainly seems to have spilled over to the wide receivers. And why wouldn't it? They were getting the ball. They were getting it downfield. They were getting it in stride so they could score touchdowns. They were having fun. We were playing Bon Jovi. Like, everything was different. They scored 3 touchdowns with the passing game, had 2 in the first 5 weeks. Not a surprise that the receivers are a little happier than they had been. But is the team trending in the right direction? Because you were down there today. Gerard Mayo said, there's going to be changes. There are going to be changes. Starting lineup changes. Well, that means you don't have a full team momentum. Because if you had full team momentum, you wouldn't be making changes. So you're pulling the plug somewhere. A, how concerning is that? Week 6, week 7. And B, what's your prediction? We did some of these earlier. Prediction for these changes in the starting lineup. I'll throw one at you that I like. Polk.
Yeah, that's the one that clearly comes to mind for me too. And it's not just because of the drops that he had last week or the heel that couldn't get down in the end zone and all this stuff.
Or the dancing in the middle of the field.
Right. Like that's, I just think that somebody like Kayshon Booty showed that what we've heard from behind the scenes about who he's been in practice, which is Pop today said, I've watched him make that throw or make that catch with that exact throw in practice so many times.
Right.
When I watched it happen in real time, it was like, here we go. I know what I'm about to see. And that kind of thing is like, wait, we were seeing this behind the scenes and you couldn't get him out there in that position earlier than
that?
That seems more like a Jacoby Brissett / AVP problem to me. I'll just say that's an obvious one. I don't know what they're going to do with the offensive line because I think DeMontre Jacobs has really been out of his depth with the performances that he's had to have. But Mike Onwenu is not in shape.
Yeah.
He's not. I know that they're talking about moving him to tackle. He's not in shape. Have you watched back any of that tape from Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
He's not moving well.
I know they pushed back on he gained 80 pounds, and I don't know if 80 was accurate, but he got fat and happy with his contract, literally.
I don't know if that's exactly what's happening, or maybe he thought it would be better to get bigger at that position, but that concerns me, too. Like, I don't know what changes you make with the starting.
You can't bench him, though.
No, you can't. But I heard you guys when coming in, and I know that Mayo was asked about, will he be moved to right tackle?
Right.
Can he move like a tackle?
Probably not.
I don't know.
No.
An improvement there? I don't know. DeMontre Jacobs is a problem, not in the way that you look at NBA players and you go, wow, Jason Tatum is a problem.
Right.
It's like, no, that's a problem. You got to fix it.
And they have problems. It's not just the offensive line. It's not just the offensive line penalties. It's not just Polk and his drops. And it was interesting to hear Mayo earlier in the week bring in his blocking, which I think was a more damning comment, actually, than the drops.
Do you think because that's about, like, effort and focus when you're not the playmaker?
I actually think that's what's going to get him benched, is the blocking. Because that's defense in basketball. Like, do you want to play defense? Then play defense.
Yeah, you got to make the hustle play.
Right.
It can't always be you looking for a catch.
We all have slumps, and we all drop the ball. I mean, Amari Cooper just got traded. Josh Allen's in love with him. He's dropped a lot of passes this year. I think he has, like, a 43% catch percentage. We looked it up. So that's a part of the position. But if you're not going to block and you're a rookie receiver on a team that wants to run the ball, right, wants the running game to be part of the offense.
In theory.
Well, I know in theory because they don't run it.
I don't know who's going to be running that ball.
We might move off that because you're right. Ramondre Stevenson is hurt, and you now have a quarterback that you probably think can sling it around the field.
And can run the ball.
Can run on his own a little bit and has receivers that suddenly seem more engaged or tied into the offense and excited. So she is Megan Ottolini. She is joining us for the next couple hours here on the WEEI afternoon show. And after trending, we have another special guest. It's just guests everywhere. Who knew you needed so many people to fill the shoes of Christian Arkand, that afternoon yeller here on WEEI? But you do. We have Mike Giardi joining us on the phone to talk all things Patriots. We will talk about win or a loss in London. We will talk about the sky's the limit for this new passing attack led by Drake May. We'll talk about lineup changes. We'll talk about whatever the hell Mike Giardi wants to talk about. But first, as always, he's the Stizzard of Oz. He's behind the curtain. He's behind the mic. And this is Trending.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today. at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome back to the WEEI afternoon program. Andy Hart here in the one chair because the big guy, big Christian Arcan, the big bad mouth that sits in this chair usually
has a little bit of a sore throat, so he had to stay home today.
And joining me now after 2 hours of fun with Fitzy, we get 2 more hours of fun with Mego.
Yeah, I'm back.
You are very popular on the text line and the Twitch chat. There was like exclamation point. Mego!
It's like being the backup quarterback. You're the most popular person because nobody ever sees you.
That's kind of true.
That is completely true.
Good analogy or comparison.
Yeah, when
for that
I was
job.
On here every day, all the texts were worst voice ever, so annoying.
What's the GM's name, Elliot? What?
So dumb. And then you go away for a while.
Come today, and they're like, "Boy, you look good. Love Mego."
That's a great point.
It's just a great point. The reality of it.
So will Jacoby Brissett be very popular soon?
Probably.
I don't think so, and I hope
only,
not.
If you win some games, no.
Right. So we're looking to win some games. So when you want to win some games, you bring on a guy who is probably in my top 10 for most favorite Boston sports media members. Maybe top 5, depending on the day.
I'm surprised you have 10.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That you would say are your favorites.
You know me too well. I don't really like 10 people in the media. But he is.
Number 9 is the guy person who rubbed your back?
Oh, probably. It was a woman. It was a woman. Sure. Let's just make sure. It was a woman. And it was not Mike Giardi, who is not a woman, but he is joining us now from Boston Sports Media. He is the man who knows all about the Patriots. So I'm going to start, Mike Giardi. First of all, thanks for joining us. You're on with Jumbo Hart and Mego. How's it going today?
I've had a lot of time with Mego today. We were hanging out in Foxborough before this, so maybe probably give the Twitch chat the... No, I did not. Chris Price didn't either.
Nobody should be rubbing anybody. Nobody should be rubbing anybody in the locker room. I think that should be a rule for players, media, yes. Coaches, everybody. Mike Giardi. So a simple question I started the show today with from a fan perspective, not from a player perspective, because I know every player when they take the field, they try to kick the ass most of the time of the person across from them, unless they make a business decision when Derrick Henry is running their way on the goal line or something like that. Do you believe Patriots fans should be rooting for the Patriots to win or lose on Sunday in London against the likewise 1-5 Jags?
You want to win. Like, that's what you do this for. Like, ooh. And I understand the big picture, and you want the first pick or whatever it is that you're thinking about at this point. But, like, these guys need to see some progress that shows up in the win column. They've lost 5 in a row. They sneaky kind of got their ass kicked in a bunch of these games. And your new coaching staff that hasn't been awesome thus far, you know, really would love one. So I think it's important for the program in general to come away with a victory just to get some better vibes. And hey, the work we're putting in is finally paying off.
Mike, what do you think the Patriots can do? We hear about them trying to start fast. What do you think they can do for Drake May in terms of play calling to get him feeling confident, settled, and able to start fast in the game against Jacksonville?
Yeah, you'd like some easy throws right out of the gate, even if it's something as simple as a tunnel screen to a wide receiver or something like that, a quick hitter to someone in the flat, just to sort of, okay, we got that over with. We got the, you know, I can throw the ball 100 miles an hour. He still caught it. It's my first completion, and now let's move on. But it was kind of interesting to me that people got upset about the first two play calls in the game the other day. And I was kind of glad that Jerod Mayo brought up the point today that, you know, we were starting a guy that we signed 5 days ago to be our center, and he was playing with a rookie quarterback who was making his first start. Like, let them just sort of get into the game a little bit. Okay, we can do this now. We manage this. Now we can start to expand our playbook. There was actual booing in the stands. It didn't make – I understand wanting to see May throw the ball, but, like, relax. There are other circumstances sort of at play.
So there was a assertion, a threat, a warning, whatever it was from Jerod Mayo today. There's going to be changes. There's going to be changes in the starting lineup. We were just bandying about some names. I think an obvious sort of big name, quote unquote, would be Polk at the wide receiver position. But I think there's other possibilities. Do you have an idea, A, who some of those other names we might talk about would be, and B, do you think it works? Do you think this is a good tactic for Jerod Mayo?
I think he has already sort of gone into the bag pretty deeply to try to figure out how to correct some of the issues that his football team has had over the first 6 weeks. I would suggest to you, and it's not a big name, but that Raekwon McMillan is probably going to spend more time on the bench than he is on the field. His run fits have been pretty disastrous the last few weeks, and he's been part of the group, because it's never just been one person, but been part of the group that has allowed some huge chunk plays in the run game in recent weeks. I would think that that would be a place. And for Polk, I'm one of those guys. I didn't like KJ Osborne getting all the snaps he got early in the year. I said, just keep rolling Polk out there. But he's got a confidence problem right now. So between that and sort of some of the actions that he showed on the field against San Francisco, walking off the field while play was still going on, or then, of course, he should have gotten his feet in bounds and didn't, and then is at the 50-yard line exhorting the crowd to boo the referees in the Miami game, like, he might need just a little timeout. You know, to take a little break. I'm not saying, like, keep him on the bench for the entire game, but, like, dude, you're not playing that great, and, like, this is pro football now. Like, you got to be better. And he's, you know, kind of gone in the wrong direction here. I think he's been targeted 25 times and has 9 catches.
That's not all on him,
but that's not good.
Gerard Mayo was asked whether the Patriots were in on Devontae Adams or Amari Cooper, at least just kicking the tires. And he said no. He said they're kind of, to paraphrase, in a different stage of development or in a different place compared to the Bills and the Jets. Did that answer surprise you in either that they weren't in on any of those conversations or that they said, Gerard said, we're in a different position?
I think, Mego, you've been around for training camp, and Andy was before he became the number one chair on the afternoon show.
Thanks for noticing.
Hey. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, you're doing a hell of a job, bang-up job there.
That
Gerard had said multiple times, said it directly or left breadcrumbs, like, we know it's not about this year. They know that their roster is in such a place that, you know, as I said, I think when I did the cutdowns, I was like, it's probably 42, 43 guys that belong on the roster. And you still have to add 10 more guys on the roster to get to the limit, you know, like that's just sort of where they're at from their roster build. So I think he's been telling you all along that the roster's not good enough and it's not about this year. It's about development of the young players and the culture that he wants to reestablish here. And then you start talking about, oh, should we make this move or that move? And when it comes to those two players, Devontae's going to be 32 in December. Cooper's on the other side of 30 as well. Like, they don't make sense for your timeline. Brandon Ayuk was a different story, right? Because he's 26, going to be 27, and you sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal. You're assuming you're on the way up, you know, when he's still in his prime. With these guys, they're on the back end of their prime, maybe even out of their prime. It doesn't. It made no sense. It really didn't to add that guy and give up a second or a third round pick. Come on, not for this team.
So we have another, police blotter incident for the Patriots. Mm. With Christian Barmore. I haven't seen it yet, but apparently now there's video that is the police video. What do you make of that situation, other than the obvious that it's clearly a bad look for a guy who should be a foundational player of this team moving forward with a $90 million contract, who, oh, by the way, isn't on the active roster and should be looking to, I don't know, stay out of trouble until he gets back to work? What's your takeaway? Is there a culture issue here? And I don't love to bring that up because I think there were arrests under Bill Belichick, and I think there's arrests under every coach in America. But what do you make of this sort of continued thing that's going on with their ties to the police?
Yeah, a little immaturity here is kind of the first thing I thought of. And look, I haven't seen the video yet. I only read the police report and wrote it up for Boston Sports Journal. And we only have the one side of Barmore's story, which was the tweet that has been deleted, you know, where he accuses the Providence police of racism. But other than that, like, we don't know the full story. So I don't want to, without having getting into the video, like, sort of give you my thoughts on it. I mean, my big takeaways from it. But I would just say, like, 1 o'clock in a known drug area in Providence, you know, they talked about the rolling stop, which is in police terms is like someone in the car is trying to put something away that we're not supposed to see. Like, it just, you know, it's immature. It was a silly thing to be doing at that point. Like, not saying he can't live his life or anything like that, but just guess you got to be smarter. And then obviously there was hostility between he and the police from pretty much from jump. And look, I'm not a black man. I haven't lived through however long, you know, 100 years of feeling like the police haven't treated me properly, but that's, that has to enter into the conversation, or at least in his thought process as this is all happening.
There's no way to transition out of that answer, so I'm going to go to something completely
no,
different.
No.
Completely
are you a
different.
Black man, Megan?
Not to my knowledge. So I, like everybody else, was a little frustrated and underwhelmed by the run game on Sunday. If Ramondre Stevenson mm-hmm. continues to be too banged up, injured to play in London, what do they do to find some answers in order to balance out their offense?
Yeah, they just need better. They just need better blocking up front. And obviously that not only has it been an issue in pass blocking for the entirety of the season, Mego, but it's been, you know, bits and pieces here and there where it has been ineffective in the run game as well. So, you know, it looks like we could be headed for another change too, if Fedarian Lowe can't go, which I was told it's more day to day than week to week, but no guarantee that he's ready to go by Sunday. And that could mean, and went back to right tackle, and Jacobs from right tackle to left tackle. And so once again, you know, that would make what would be 7 weeks in, and then you'd be in your sixth offensive line combination, which is certainly not, well, actually seven because of the Ben Brown thing. So yeah, just that's bad. Like you can't live that way and expect that it's going to look good on a week in, week out basis.
Speaking of that offensive line, I have and this is a serious question. It sounds like talk radio type question, but this is a serious question I have. Is Elliot Wolf that bad at evaluating offensive line talent, and he legitimately thought he had put together a representative depth chart on the line, or was he sneaky tanking?
That's a good question. I would hope he's not sneaky tanking. I think the evaluation.
I would hope he's not that bad at picking offensive linemen.
Yeah, that would be a problem, right? Because you're definitely going to be in the market for one, probably more than one in this offseason. And it's interesting to go back on that, Andy, just a little bit. Like, I wrote about it around the draft. I actually just tweeted about it this week because there was some like, oh, I think that the offensive line, like, what was he supposed to do? And people around the league felt like they got caught with their pants around their ankles around draft time when the run on the second wave of tackles happened. Mm-hmm. And they ended up with a guy who some people actually think in Caden Wallace is a guard, not a tackle. And they were trying to tell us, and who knows, again, it's still early in his process and development, that he could be a left tackle, having been a right tackle his entirety of his college career. So you have that. Then you have Laden Robinson, who's been sent to the bench. And there's some promise there. It wasn't all bad when he was starting, but he has a ways to go as well. And you're like, well, you knew what system you were going to run. Allegedly, you targeted players that would work in this system. And thus far, they haven't really worked. So, yeah, I think there has to be a meeting of the minds here and figure out exactly how to approach this and make sure that in this coming off season that they get those swings right, because it's not even just that. Like, so Nick Leverett, like that didn't work. He's been cut. Like they've moved through bodies at the position, and they're signing guys off the waiver wire and starting them 5 days later, off practice squads and signing them 5 days later. That's rough.
Mike, do you have a sense of what the mood on the defense is? I know that's a broad question, but a couple weeks now we've gotten these quotes from Devon Godchow, whether it's on our radio station or mm-hmm. at his locker after games, where he's saying things like players are operating in a way that's selfish, or he feels like players aren't giving the full effort after halftime or the third quarter. Do you find that to be representative of how other guys on defense feel?
I think the defense has opened themselves up to these sort of questions by just how they played. And, I was trying to make the point today and talking to some of the guys about, like, do you feel like because of the injuries, and this is a fan, I've gotten this a lot of pushback from fans when I write about how badly the defense is playing. Well, what did you expect? They don't have Barmore. They don't have Bentley. They don't have Peppers. It's like, okay, but last year they didn't have Gonzalez, Judon. They were missing their corners. John Jones, Marcus Jones gone for much of the year. John Jones missed a lot of time last year. And, like, you ended up as a top 10 defense, DVOA-wise, which is, if you're going to go nerd numbers, that's probably the one that I would use. This year they're 29th, I think, or 28th. Like, I get that there has been a decrease in talent on that side of the ball because of the attrition. But at some point, if you just do your job, as boring as that sounds, as Bill drove that into our head, but it's true, if 10 guys are doing their job and one guy doesn't do his job and that leads to a 57-yard run, like, okay, what do the other 10 guys say? Like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like, just fill the damn gap, you know, take on the block, string the play out, whatever it may be, and all of a sudden we're not talking about 57 yards, we're talking about five. And that's much more manageable, right? Mm-hmm. Instead, you're giving up these huge chunk plays week after week after week, especially in the run game, which to me is even more demoralizing than the pass game. Like, somebody can get over the top of somebody. Those guys, you know, super talented, bam, it happens. But when it happens in the run game, everything is so interconnected. And it, when it really becomes a one- or two-person problem, you're just like, dude, like, again, week after week after week. And this is the part, I think, where you started to see Jerod's frustration, especially boil over after the game on Sunday. Because I think the fact that they gave up 41 points and are giving up chunk plays on a regular basis is offensive to him. And I think you're starting to see, like, I'm a defensive-minded coach, and this is happening to my guys, my team, my hand-chosen defensive coordinator, like the one guy truly on defense and the entire coaching staff that he said that was his pick and it's not working. Like, that hurts.
Mike, this is an open-ended question before we let you go, and I always hate to go here, but it's the reality of the world we live in. What are the chances Alex Van Pelt is the offensive coordinator next year? What percentage would you put on it?
Yeah, pass. 40%, 42%.
40? Whoa, 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 whoa. You think it's below 50% that he's back next year?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a better question than I thought. Do tell.
Well, so I think that look, if Drake takes a big step forward here and Drake continues to speak well of Alex, then Alex's job is probably saved. But by and large, if you continue to look at situations like you did even this past Sunday, where it doesn't appear like they have the necessary answers for the test, and he's not maybe utilizing personnel in the right way, then I think they're going to come to a decision at the end of the year. Like, as good as Alex may have done to coach up the future of the franchise, Alex as a play caller and play designer is leaving something to be desired, and we can't go forward with that. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, they wanted Nick Caley. They offered Nick money, and Nick decided to stay as an assistant, not even a coordinator, but an assistant in L.A. with the Rams under McVay for another year than to come here. What's to say you don't make that call again?
Can I make the offseason?
Yeah, you had another year. Maybe we throw another million onto the fire, and now you know that maybe Drake may can play, and you have something to work with, and maybe that's the thing that says, okay, much like the receivers didn't want to come here, maybe the offense coordinator said, let me see if you actually have something before I actually attach myself to this and try to build an offense out of what's left of the talent on that room.
What about two guys that are currently employed as head coaches? Which would you choose if they were options that became available? Brian Daboll from the Giants, who obviously has ties to New England historically, the old system, or Kevin Stefanski, whose offense the Patriots are already running with Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, I would give me Brian. No. Give me Brian Daboll all day, every day. I spent a lot of time in Buffalo. It's in my previous life, in my previous job, covering that football team and what he did with Josh Allen. And look, Josh is a special talent, but what he did to help refine that kid. And I think you and I both sort of made the comparison to Drake May and Josh Allen coming out. Obviously not the same sort of, physically he's still 25 pounds lighter than Josh is, and maybe not the same howitzer arm, but some similarities in the way they move and some of the things that they're able to do creatively throwing the football. Yeah, give me that guy and let him and Drake, you know, go forward together. I would feel real good about that if I was a Patriots fan.
He is Michael Giardi, and he just gave me something to talk about for a few days with a 40% chance that Alex Van Pelt is back in 2025 as the offensive coordinator of your New England Patriots. Michael, thanks for joining us. We will talk to you soon, and enjoy a beautiful Sunday morning battle between 2-1-win football teams.
It's gonna be awesome, Andrew. It's going to be awesome.
There's a lot on the line. First pick. See you, Mike. He is Mike Giardi.
Yeah,
appreciate it. She is Mego. I am Andy Jumbo Hart. We are the current edition for today anyway, for these 2 hours anyway, of the afternoon program here on WEEI, and we will be back after this.
Yo, y'all touch me! Y'all crazy! I ain't
get out of the
car. He's on blood thinner! Talk me! I dare y'all touch me!
They won't let me out, no. They won't let me out. They won't let me out.
That audio you just heard was Christian Barmore's being pulled over and arrested earlier, I guess, this morning.
Can I tell you something about this song, Stiz?
Uh-oh.
You'll be very upset by this. I like, never hear songs correctly. I thought this song was about a doctor. instead of locked
what?
Up. I thought it was doctor won't let me out.
You will never live that down for me, at least.
I need a doctor. I thought that's what it was.
That is very random and very wrong. You know who might need a doctor to at least talk about some anger management issues? I would say Christian Barmore, because in the snippets we've seen, that was a short clip. There's a longer clip making the rounds on Twitter. This is the police camera footage. Christian Barmore was very upset. As we all know, he is wont to do. He was speaking very quickly.
Yeah, when I first saw that video, Andy, I thought that it was sped up. And then
just
I forgot.
Him.
We haven't heard from him in almost a year. So that's just how he talks.
Yeah, and it's not great when you haven't heard or seen a guy doing his job and collecting his paycheck and doing the things he's supposed to be doing, that the first time you see him really is in a grainy, dark 1 a.m. police body camera footage screaming at the cops, alleging racism on social media very shortly thereafter, by the way. Very
well,
shortly.
Okay, so I'll say this. I only saw the one clip. I don't know the context around it. And I, as Giardi pointed out, I've never been in the situation with the context that he's been in.
Sure.
With the biases. And so I can't really judge how he's acting, but I can look at what the Patriots have been going through over the last month. And it's just a lot of stuff that's starting to stack up in the column of stuff that's at least a distraction on outside of the field.
Well, at the very least, I thought Gerard Mayo was very annoyed, perturbed, offended in the Javon Baker situation at Logan Airport mm-hmm. on social media when he ripped the state police. And Gerard made it clear in his comments that they want to have a relationship with the police. They want to have a positive relationship. I mean, first and foremost, just a professional relationship. When you go to a game, there's
stateies everywhere.
Everywhere. When they go to a game on the road, how do they get there? State troopers lead them down the road.
Not sure about the professionalism of all those dogs. I saw a dog once rolling on its back and looking for tummy rubs at training camp, but that's...
Well, you got to ignore that. Look the other way. It's just a momentary lapse in judgment. We all have them on the professional landscape. But, you know, if Gerard Mayo was annoyed by that from Javon Baker when he went to, I think, Instagram Live right after an interaction at Logan about parking and dropping somebody off and whatever, he can't be happy with this. Because to me, this situation actually, I think, ended about as well as it could have. Because when you see situations like, if you've ever watched Cops or you've ever seen other examples of this.
You just watched the news over the last
right,
5 years.
When people are this agitated, the level of stress goes up and bad things happen. Like it goes down a road that no one wants it to go down. And I think they were very fortunate that this ended as positively as it could have, maybe
well,
under the circumstances.
In a neutral way, it seems
yes,
to. I'm
yes.
sure that Christian Barmore is still very agitated about how his perception of how it went down. And I'm sure that the police are not thrilled with accusations of
sure.
racism on their end. So it's neutral. I'm not sure it's positive for either side,
well,
but it's not ultimately very destructive.
No one was shot. No one
right,
was beaten.
Right.
No one is, you know, in that world. And we've seen it go down that road
Everything
many times.
Everything can be salvaged.
Everything seems like it can be salvaged. And there's gray areas. We don't know. I mean, we can believe the police report, but I think we all know police reports aren't always the facts that they're supposed to be. Like, I try to keep an eye. I generally go into these things believing everything and believing nothing. So I believe the police report, and I believe the racism. And I don't believe the police report, and I don't believe the racism.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's safer if
Again,
I just take
just
that mindset.
Keep an open mind to whatever facts or allegations on either side might be more accurate to what actually happened. But what is accurate to say is we're only in mid-October right now, and there's just a lot of crap that's been going around with individuals on the team.
And key individuals at times. I mean, two core defensive players. Now, he hasn't been on the field, but he's a core defensive player. And Jabril Peppers is certainly a core defensive player and a captain in that realm. And to have these things go on, I think what happens then is you take the next leap. There's the individual level situation, but then you say, what is going on with the team? What is going on with the culture? What is going on with the leadership, whether it be team leadership in terms of players, veteran players, how things are done, the example set by players, and then leadership above that, which is coaching, ownership, those types of things. And Stuff happened under Bill Belichick. I'm going to use the word stuff.
Often.
Because as I joked earlier, when I get home tonight, my guilty pleasure on Wednesdays is on Hulu. I watch the Aaron Hernandez.
You're not watching that, Andy.
That's
oh my God.
Mego.
It's the best thing.
Oh, my God.
Thing.
I'm it's sorry. So bad. There's not enough hours in the day for me to do anything besides Barstool's doing an excellent job, PFT, tweeting out the funniest clips because they're the acting so bad. The casting overall is so atrocious. I can't sit down there and watch like an entire episode, though.
You'll never know what you're missing then, because it is the guiltiest of guilty pleasures that is so pleasureful that I never knew.
I don't feel guilty about my pleasures.
I mean, and that's just the surface. Every line is, I feel like I now know what women who read those trashy like romance novels or things like that.
Or watch Real Housewives.
Yes, all of that. I'm in that world now.
You know it's bad.
Right.
You know it's so bad.
It's so bad.
It's like.
But I can't get enough.
You're just shoveling candy.
And I lived it. I lived it. I thought I knew everything that went on. But when they, under their lens and their telling and their narrative, I knew nothing. There was so much more going on that I never knew of that may have never happened, but it's still entertaining in this form. But stuff happened. Let's just leave it at that. Stuff happened under Bill Belichick. And yet I do wonder, is this a generational issue where there's just kids coming in, social media, and I don't kids. I mean, they're not kids. They're young men.
Young people,
but
yeah.
They're kind of kids. That have grown up in a certain world with certain experiences, real life experiences, drug experiences, because marijuana is now a more widely accepted, utilized, whatever. Then you have the issues of social media, jumping right on social media to, you know, I feel like in the old days, you probably would have called somebody first.
Yeah.
Now, apparently he called his mother based on one of the videos, and his mother was on the phone in the background or something like
that. Is this Barmore or Baker?
Barmore.
Because we're jumping all over.
Well, okay. Yeah, we got a bunch of them to work through. We got Peppers,
well,
we got Baker, we got Barmore.
One, Baker was the one who immediately went to live stream.
To social media.
And which, I think that was because he was looking for some validation about how he was feeling.
Here's an idea.
But that's not something I would do. I'm
Let
younger
it cool.
than you, Andy. You wouldn't do it. I'm younger than you. I wouldn't do it.
I seem young.
I think the generation below me, that's much more of a thing.
Is it a good thing?
Like, I went on a terrible date. Let me go viral for telling you about how bad my date was. I would never do that.
Don't.
But
and you need somebody to tell you don't.
Thing.
Gerard Mayo needs to tell them don't.
There just seems to be like a sense of entitlement
absolutely.
With a lot of these. And that's what rubs me the wrong way.
I don't even know if it's entitlement as much as it's just like the freedom to be who you're going to be. That is so different than when Bill Belichick was here.
Baker was basically saying, like, how dare you give me a ticket at the airport? I don't know when the last time you guys have been to Logan, but the stadies are you cannot pull over for more than, like, 30 seconds.
They yell at everybody.
Because it's such a S show over there that they have to keep the flow of traffic moving.
Right.
So, in the same thing, we start, don't knock on my window, and this, like, don't touch me. Like, there just seems to be, like, a sense of entitlement
and
with a lot of these things.
I agree with Mike Giardi. I'm not a black man. And I the thing that bothers me most is actually whatever happened long before this incident happened, which is how did you get to kind of a weird area at 1 a.m. on a Wednesday?
That's where I think the context is.
It's still a work week for you and your team. Even though you're not playing, you're still in the work world. It's not
He should be
February.
Researching his Friday funnies.
I would remove him from the Friday funnies. I don't think he's ever all that funny of a story anymore for this New England Patriots team. And I do think Gerard Mayo has a lot of brush fires he needs to put out.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about on-field penalties, undisciplined, changes to the lineup, all these things. And off the field, one, two, three. I'm starting to have an issue off the field in undisciplined, unprofessional, doing inappropriate things at inappropriate times in inappropriate ways.
And you know what? If you want to be in, you know, a whatever part, a sketchy part of Providence at 1 a.m., that's your prerogative. If you want to smoke marijuana, that's your prerogative. But when you get pulled over by the police, act professional. That's when it becomes like, all right, now it's on you. You got caught with your hand in the cookie jar. Own up. Let's move on.
But where I disagree with you is it's not his prerogative. It's partially the Patriots' prerogative. You are a $90 million building block of this team. I expect you to act a certain way. And if you don't want to act that way, that's fine. But you're not a building block of this team. Like, when I buy into you, you buy into me. We buy into each other for a long-term relationship. And I will continue to go back to, as we wrap up this hour here on the afternoon show, Christian Barmore was a first-round talent who fell to the second round for character questions. He had issues at Alabama, motivations, attitudes, social media scrubbing. I don't want to be here anymore. Like, he's had some issues. There's been some other issues that have flown under the radar that I've heard about that I don't have sourced well enough to really go down that road.
But you don't have to worry about that anymore. You're a radio person.
I don't think that's how that works.
Let it fly.
I don't think I just throw stuff out there, but we will continue.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's where we're at now?
This would be irresponsible of me, even though I've heard. So 617.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So
617-779-7937, 37937 on the tier of continuing to talk about the culture with the Patriots and what the hell is going on under Gerard Mayo's watch. Not to say it didn't go on under other people's watches or under Kirby Smart's watch at Georgia or anybody else's watch. It's a problem that's in professional sports, society, the football world, the culture, everything. This is the Afternoon Show, WEEI.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.